that I had it on my heart all the way here. I was singing it in the car because I had a feeling Brother Danny was going to ask me to do one. One Friday morning in Jerusalem, the weight of my sins were all cast upon Him. Freely He bore them, taking my shame. Proven He loved me, bless His holy name. Then one Sunday morning, at the breaking of day, Mary and Martha found the stone rolled away. Death held no victory over God's Son. Hallelujah, He's risen. The battle's been won. Hallelujah, He's risen. Mary has seen Him. He's alive and walking on Galilee's shore. Hallelujah, He's risen. Thomas has touched Him. He's risen to live forevermore. Yes, He's risen to live forevermore.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't that a good song? Say amen. Amen. All right, Carrie. There's enough kids here. Let's come, get them up here. Wednesday night kids right here. Come on, kids. All the kids in our Wednesday night Bible class. Come on right here. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Oh, we got a lot of them sick, not here tonight. But we got enough of them here to make a good racket. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, boys and girls. Let's go. All of our Wednesday night Bible class. Oh, just the little ones? What? Come on, all of you. Amen. Let's go.
All right. They got something good for us here tonight. They've been working on, and they're getting ready for you, Friday. Won't be long. I told them, if you want a shirt, you're going to have to do good. All right. Go ahead.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have an everlasting life.
Woo! Is that good?
All right, you're done. That's all you get to do. They've been having about 30 of them on Wednesday night. That's a mob, boy, I tell you, back there. And I thank the Lord for it. What a blessing they are. Amen. And they're up and coming. Hallelujah, up and coming. All right, let's open the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. And I want you to give me attention. What I'm going to say tonight will help you in your Christian life. It'll help you in your business. It'll help you in school. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you in anything you're ever going to try to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. This is talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. It seems like God always gives people something to keep them down from getting too high and mighty. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look where he said, my strength, the Lord told Paul, is made perfect in weakness. In weakness. I want to preach tonight on the subject, playing hurt. There are three kinds of people in this world. The wills, the wants, and the can'ts. The wills are the ones that accomplish everything. The wants are the ones that are opposed to everything. And the can'ts are the ones that fail in everything. Always saying they can't do it. And I want to use a few stories tonight that I've read and some from personal experience and give you some thoughts about playing hurt. Paul said, he said, Lord, I could sure do better if you'd take this thorn out. And the Lord said, nope, I'm not going to take it out, Paul. I'm going to leave it in there and let you still win because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I can imagine Paul prayed and said, Lord, I could have crusades. I could have tent revivals. I could win souls. There's no telling what I could do, Lord, if you just take this thorn out and fix what's wrong in my life. And the Lord said, I ain't going to do it, Paul. I'm going to let you play with that thorn in you, and that way I get the glory and not you. Now, the truth is tonight, there's people all over this church tonight that you think, man, if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that one thing, oh, man, I could really do something for God. Now, you know God is able to take that out if he wants to. But sometimes the Lord will leave that in you and let you play hurt. All of you, I mean, y'all know, as far as sports go, I like basketball. And I've seen that game many years ago where Michael Jordan had a fever, had the flu. And they played this big important game. I forgot who they was playing against. And he went out there, and the coach, Phil Jackson, at that time, made the statement after that over. He said, that man made a believer out of me. He was so sick, he could hardly hold his head up. During timeout, he had sat there, I mean, breaking out in a cold sweat and almost throw up sick and kept playing. And they said at one time, his teammate, Scottie Pippen, literally, he just held him and let him lean on him, and he carried. And he went out there and played. Michael Jordan did not have to do that. I mean, he had enough money. Somebody figured it up one time, and they figured it up that it was like, I'm just going to guess, but it was something like $18,000 every time he bounced the ball. I mean, he was making pretty good money. I'm not sure about that quote, but it's something like some ridiculous figure like 1936, you know, 54, ding, ding, just like every time he bounced that ball. That's what his salary ran out. So he did not have to do that. But he said, Coach Phil Jackson said, he said inside him, he had a will to win. And he said, that's where winning comes from. It comes from within. And everybody who succeeds in life, some of them are smart, some of them are not smart, some of them are educated, some of them are not educated, some of them are rich, some of them are poor, but everybody who's a success has something deep down inside them that just drives them and drives them and saying, I might be hurt, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep and stay in the game for the glory of God. If you quit church ever for the first time you get hurt, you ain't going to last very long. If you quit serving God the first time you get hurt, you're not going to last in this war that you and I are living in. Buddy, I'm telling you, there's knocks and battles and fight. Lord have mercy. When I started out, there was about 150 of us young people. And I guess probably there's not five of them still serving God today. You know why? Because people let things knock them out.
People that think, I quit because of this. I quit because of that. I quit because of this. I quit because of that. You know what old Michael Jordan did? He said, he scored 38 points that game. And they won. I think you have to win in basket. And brother, he made a believer. He made a believer out of Coach Phil Jackson and a lot of other people. And Michael Jordan said something one time. He said in his career, he said, I missed 9,000 shots. 9,000 times. That didn't make it to the highlights. That's not on the posters. He missed 9,000 shots, lost 300 games, and 26 times they trusted him to take the last shot at the buzzer, and he missed it. 26 times. Now, he hit some game winners. He hit some of them. As a matter of fact, you see on the highlight, that one where he comes around there and he jumps about that high and nails it at the buzzer. You see that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And you think, my man, what about 26 times at the buzzer, he took the last shot and missed it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. All we see them highlights and we think he does that every time. No, we don't. And if I was the coach, I'd tell somebody like Kobe Bryant, you don't have to take the last shot just because you're Kobe Bryant. They think, some of them guys got it in their head because Michael Jordan did it, that since they're the best player, they've got to take the last shot. I don't care if there's 10 people guarding them. They got to do it. But I've seen sometimes, I've seen Kobe do it, trying to be the hero when the game was on the line. Somebody be standing over here wide open like this and him take a last shot with four people on him. He's not trying to win the game. He's trying to be the hero. Jordan was trying to win the game. Now, there's a difference in that kind of an attitude. Now, if a game's already won, you're 40 points ahead, take it. I don't care. But he had a will. He had a will. Now, you know what? I'm trying to tell you tonight, when it comes to church, when it comes to God, when it comes to the bus ministry, when it comes to the Sunday school, when it comes to living for the Lord, you've got to have something down inside you that said, by the grace of God, I will not give up. I will not. If the Lord will help me, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Now, you know tonight, man told me not long ago, he said, Danny, you need to write a book. He's been telling me this for years, guy. And he said, every time I talk to him, he said, when are you going to write your life story? I said, right before I'm ready to die. If I know I'm ready to die, I'm going to write it and then publish it so it comes out after I'm dead. And tell the truth on everybody. They can't kill me. I said, I don't know if I'll ever do that or not. I'm going to tell you, folks, you don't know. Y'all do not know the battles that I've faced. I mean, nobody knows. No, the Lord knows most of them. Carrie knows second. And other people know a few more. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. God only knows the opposition we've faced. Since I know I go to revivals and I preach. And there's a bunch of young preachers get in there and they say, man, I want to preach like Brother Danny. I want to preach. And they say, I'm just starting. And I felt sad. I pat him on the head and say, you better pray to die, son. I'm telling you, brother, this thing could get rough. Serving God, you know they killed some of our ancestors. They put our forefathers in leather sacks of rattlesnakes and sewed them up and throwed them in the river. I mean, they beat their hands. They put them, locked them up in cages and beat their fingernails and their toes. And they locked them up in boxes about the size underneath that table with nails sticking all the way through them and left them in there about a week with their blood coming out all over their body and they finally lost their mind. They did that to Christians. They did that to Christians. Are you listening to me? They did that to Christians just like me and you. So I figure, brother, if my forefathers can stand that, I can take a little persecution. I can take a little gossip. I can take a little hurt every now and then. I can take somebody making fun of us. I can take somebody laughing at us a little bit. So, well, what are we going to do when somebody says something down at church? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to stand up like a man or a woman and say, by the grace of God, I'm serving God anyway. That's what you going to do. Say amen right there. Now listen, I read about Charles Zimri, and he was a long different distance swimmer. Long distance swimmer years ago. And that old boy swam 140 something miles up from Albany, New York to New York City and stunned the whole nation. And what stunned the nation was he had no legs. He had no legs. And he was determined to be a champion swimmer. Now I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking, how can a man swim with no legs? And then I thought, Well, foot, that'd be sort of easier, wouldn't it? I mean, if all you had was a body and two arms, you could go like crazy. You could just go, make your arms like that, you know, like one of them little things. But honestly, I believe your legs would help you. But I tell you, that old boy, he made up his mind where most people with no legs would be just say, I'm going to sit down, I can never do nothing. He said, I'm going to swim. I'm going to swim. And son, he set records and stunned the world back many years ago. Did you know something? Ladies and gentlemen, I like what Theodore Roosevelt said. He said, I am only an average man, but I can work at it harder than the average man. I'll fight the pain. I'll take whatever. I'll suffer whatever I got to suffer in order to get the job done. How many of you have ever heard of Nancy Murky? Nancy Murky, way back years ago, had polio when she was 10 years old. She had braces on her leg and had to walk with crutches. And Nancy Murky, she kept trying. She wanted to be a swimmer. And they took her to a swim coach in Portland, Oregon. And that girl, on crutches and a walker, learned how to swim. And it took her a year to get to where she could swim from the pool, the length of the pool, one of those big pools, about long from here, back yonder to back. And she learned how to swim the length of that pool and kept training and kept training and kept training and kept training. Listen, young people, and kept training. And Brother Nancy Murky became the swimming champion of the United States of America, and the president congratulated her, and he said, how'd you learn how to do it? And she said, quote, she said, President, I guess I just kept on trying. Brother, that's what we need in the house of God tonight. We need some people who you may fail, the devil may rub your nose in the mud, but you just get back up and keep on trying and hit it another lick and go on for God. Amen. I'll tell you something. Just make up your mind. Thomas Edison lost most of his hearing by the time he was 8 years old. Couldn't hear. And he invented electric light bulb and a record player and movies. Movies. And 100 other things. You know why? You know what Thomas Edison said? He could hardly hear. He couldn't hardly hear nothing. He'd have to read your lips. And they said, isn't that awful? And he said, no, I like it. And they said, why? He said, because if a man's shouting at you, he won't lie to you. You know, man, your dog got killed. What? Your dog got killed! It's hard to lie to somebody hollering at them. Some of you have perfected that, I think, but according to what I've heard. But he said it's hard to do. I'm going to tell you something, brother. He made up his mind. He's going to do it. Listen, everybody I know that's really accomplished anything for God overcome obstacles and did it anyway. I worry about this new generation of preachers that's coming up. I've heard Ruckman say, I've heard them guys say, you always have these great preachers in days gone by, and they build a great ministry, and then their son comes up, and their son takes over. Don't mean this bad, but certain universities where so-and-so junior and so-and-so junior and so-and-so junior, he said, usually them juniors ain't worth a hoot. He said, them guys, most of them can't preach their way out of a wet paper bag. They didn't go through the hard knocks the old man went through. They didn't go through the trials. They didn't go through the burden. They didn't build nothing. A preacher who don't ever build nothing, usually he's not seasoned enough to help people through their real problem because he just stepped into it. Just stepped into a big church and everything paid for it. Listen, brother, some of them guys never have built nothing. They never have pulled it out with sweat and nearly blood and tears. And brother, seen God do something and prayed it through and fasted and prayed till God did something. And brother, I tell you, some of them boys have a smart aleck self-righteous attitude and they're preaching. It just ain't got it. You know what I mean? It just ain't got it. There's something about adversity that'll make you into a person that you can help people. And there's something about the school of adversity that nothing else can, you just can't learn it no other way. You cannot learn it any other way. I remember all the years, me and my girls, You've heard me tell a little bit of it. God's blessed us. We've had a wonderful life. But I tell you, we've had some pretty hard days. We've had some hard times. And I remember people telling me when them girls was little, Corey's about that big and Chris is about that big, and Carrie was a little bit older. And I remember telling me, people come to my face and told me, they said, Danny, you can't do this. Christian people. That was an encouragement. I said, do what? They said, you cannot pastor church, raise three kids, travel and be a full-time evangelist and preach all over the country. And I said, don't tell me I can't do it. What do you expect me to do? Quit. I said, I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do. And I said, one day turned into 2 days, and 2 days turned into 3 days, and it was, first thing you know, it was a week. Next thing you know, it was a month. Next thing you know, it was a year. Next thing you know, it was another year. Next thing you know, it was another year. And we put them all through Christian school, and I paid for it. It wasn't free. I paid for it with money out of my pocket. And I'm telling you tonight, brother, we somehow or another got through by the grace of God, because we believed that we was doing what God wanted us to do. Sometimes you just got to go on grit, brother. You just got to say, it's hard, but I'm going on anyway. Y'all know Todd got hurt over there at the youth rally. Not at the youth rally, but the day of the youth rally last year. And had a lot of people ask me. I was at the flea market one day. Right after that happened. Somewhere else right after that happened. And somebody said, well, I guess that ended his career, didn't it? I said, I doubt it. And then I was at the flea market one day. I was at the flea market one day not too long ago. And a man came up to me and he said, hey, Danny, how's the church doing? I said, doing great. We ain't batting 1,000, but we're seeing some people saved. And God's blessing. And the Lord's there. And he said, well, how's Todd, your son-in-law? Says he's doing. I said, he's doing a little bit better. I said, he's struggling along a little bit with his leg, but he's doing a little bit better. And he said, well, he won't ride no more, will he? I said, I guarantee you will. He said, well, I said, telling Todd not to ride a motorcycle is the same thing as you telling me not to preach. You can jump Lake James. It ain't going to happen. You say, well, why can't not? Listen, that's what makes him a good motorcycle rider. You say, well, you could get killed. That's right. That's right. And people who sit around and never say, well, I'm scared of this, and I'm scared of that, and I'm scared of this, and I'm scared of that. You'll sit there and be scared, and we put you in a box in the ground somewhere, and you won't never do nothing for God. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, brother, listen, Michael Jordan missed more shots than anybody. You might strike out 1,000 times, but you ain't never going to hit it if you don't get up and bat. Amen. When I hurt my knee, some spiritual woman from down another city, she don't go here, come and she said, I guess there'll be no more basketball for you. I said, don't talk to me like that. What's wrong with you? Start to say, you're a witch. You just wish I'd quit. It'd make you feel better, wouldn't it? If one more person would have walked up to me and said, you're not as young as you used to be, I believe I would have slapped them. I believe I would have slapped them. Listen, 18-year-olds tear their ACL. Amen. They have them in football all the time. I said, it ain't got... You're not as young. Oh, shut up. You jealous or something? I'm telling you something. I said, listen, don't tell me that. Now, listen, Mom always told me, she said, Danny, you can't go like you go all the time. And I said, I know it, Mom. I know that. But I'm going to go as long as I can. As long as God will let me, as long as God will bless me with health, as long as God will give me strength, as long as He gives me a big mouth, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to tell people, you better get right, because you're going to face Him. It's heaven or hell, brother. I'm going to tell them the truth. Thank God I'm glad I'm in the ministry. I'm glad I ain't in a bunch. I'm glad I don't belong to a bunch of quitters. I'm glad what I got goes back to Jesus Christ and it'll go straight in the rapture one of these days and take us out of here. I'm glad we're in a winning cause tonight. Brother, there ain't no place to quit. We ought to just rear back, hit it hard, visit a bus route, win a soul, do something for God. Don't get discouraged and give up. Say amen, I tell you. Lord, I'm about to have a shouting spell tonight. I tell you, glory to God, hallelujah. Times is rough. Obamacare ain't going to help us. I'm telling you, the Republicans ain't going to help us. But the Lord will help you if you'll hang in there. There's no George Whitfield. You people need to study church history. You quitters need to study church history. Listen, if I quit every time something didn't go my way, phew, Lord have mercy. I'd have quit 30 years ago. Somebody told me one time, they said, you must have awful tough skin. Yeah, but it ain't. I didn't choose to. I mean, I just been knocked around so much that it's made me tough. And I'm tough in Him. Don't claim nothing no other way. But old George Whitfield, you heard that story, son, that old boy preached. They said he'd preach, his throat would bleed. And he'd have thousands of people saved. Back in them big open air meetings, they didn't have stuff like this. They didn't have sound equipment. And old George Whitfield go out there and preach to them people in the fields. Revival swept up and down the East Coast of New England, up at the Cumberland Valley, and all these. Y'all read about them old Cumberland Valley revivals and the great revivals of days gone by. How the Holy Ghost moved up through Kentucky and Tennessee and Virginia and West Virginia and North and South Carolina. And that's why we got a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church on every corner in this country down south. And the Catholics have it all up north. It's because of them revival preachers they used to preach in this part of the country. Them old camp meeting preachers. Son, old George Whitfield, he went to a town to preach. And they said he preached and preached. He's about dead. I mean, he's sick. And he went to go to sleep. Went upstairs. And the story went something like, he went upstairs to his room, had a prophet's chamber upstairs. And he went up there, and a big crowd of people gathered out in the street. And they started hollering and said, "Preach, George! Preach! Preach, George! Preach!" And old George Whitfield came. And he's tired, wore out, and sick. And they said, "We had to work today. We didn't get to hear you. We was out in the fields. Preach!" And that old man of God lit a candle and put it in the window and opened his Bible and preached about an hour and a half. And he told me, he said, "I'll preach till the light goes out." And he burned that candle and preached, laid down, went to bed that night. And they come the next morning to wake him up, knocked on the door and said, "Preacher!" Nobody opened the door. He said, "Preacher!" Nobody opened the door. They knocked the door open, and George Whitfield laying in there dead. The Lord called him out that night. That candle burned out. They told everybody, they said, "He preached till the light went out. He preached till the light went out." And I'm telling you, glory to God, I read about them old men and what they faced. And I say, Lord, by the grace of God, I want to preach till the light goes out. Amen. Ain't no place for quitters in this game menu's in. I think... somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Terry Bradshaw, one of them guys, preached, played with 103. I think I heard Jack Hyatt. Was it Terry Bradshaw? One of them guys. One of them famous quarterbacks played like a Super Bowl game or something with a temperature of 103. They said, man, I mean, it was dangerous. I mean, 102 or nearly 103. And that boy played football for 2 hours. And I thought, if a man can get out there and play football with 102 or 3 fever, I think maybe me and you might be able to, you know, go visit the bus route once in a while with 3 drops of rain. They say 20 drops of rain keep 19 Baptists at home. I actually had people call me and ask me if we're going to have church this morning. Somebody sent me a text and said, "We're having church this morning?" I sent one back and said, "It's Sunday, ain't it?" That's exactly what I put. We got a nice building. We got air conditioning. We got heat. And you're going to quit because somebody at work said something critical? "Well, Brother Danny, they talk." Oh, good night, man. Listen, it ain't going to kill you to take a little persecution. Might be good for you. Might be good for you. Somebody said one person with a belief is worth 99 with only an interest. You get one person that believes in something, they can do more than 99 people that just interested. David Livingston, missionary to South Africa, a lion came out of the jungle and nearly tore his left arm off. Told you about it last Sunday night. And his arm was like this and never could use it again. He had to learn how to shoot his gun left-handed.
because he couldn't do it like that no more. So he learned how to shoot his gun like that, and he stayed right there on that mission field until he died, and they cut his heart out and buried it in Africa and shipped his body back to England so his wife could have a funeral with him. And they said one time he didn't see his wife for 3 years. 3 years. I know preachers' wives that's ready to divorce them because they went on visitation 2 or 3 nights a week. He's gone, imagine. Didn't see his wife 3 years, man. 3 years! And when he saw her, they hugged necks, and she said, "I can't even tell you the bad news for the joy that I have seeing your face." I'm telling you, man, we're a bunch of softies in this generation. We need some grit. We need some stuff that'll make us stick. We need some stuff that'll say, "Look, I might have a little pain, but I'm playing anyway. It ain't going to kill you. If it does, good cause to die in." John Wesley said, they wouldn't let John Wesley preach in church. They wouldn't let him in to preach in the churches. And he went out and made a pulpit out of his father's tombstone and preached all over that country and preached to sinners. John Knox. When John Knox preached, somebody said, "I thought he was going to break the pulpit when he was preaching." Them old boys, son old Billy Sunday, they said he wrote his notes in big old letters like that. And somebody said, "Why'd you write your notes so big?" He said, "So I can read them when I run past the pulpit." Buddy, listen, this generation of preachers now is a bunch of sissies. We need some men of God that'll say, "Yes, Lord, I'll take it all the way to the end. And I'll follow through." 26 times Michael Jordan missed the last shot. He wasn't so hot. I bet I could hit that many. Couldn't I, coach? He could. Of course, I don't know if I could if he has 3 7-footers over top of me. I'm say this and I'm through. Do you know Michael Jordan got cut in high school? Didn't even make the team. What about that? He either was sorry or he has the dumbest coach that's ever been. As a dumb coach, man. He didn't foresee the future, did he? They said one time, like a bear come out and saw a little sparrow laying out in the path on his back like that with his legs stuck up. And he said, "What are you doing, little sparrow?" And the sparrow said, quote, "I heard the heavens are falling, and one must do what one can do." The little bird said, "The heavens are falling, and one must do what one can do." Stuck his little legs up there. You may feel like that tonight. You may feel like, "I can't do nothing in the church. I'm not important. I can't sing. I can't preach." But listen, you can do what you can do. Everybody can do what they can do. Amen? Put it like this. If you can't be a bass, be the best brim in the lake. If you can't be a highway, be the best trail in the mountains, brother. If you can't be the sun, be a star. But be the best at whatever you are. Amen. You say, "Well, if it wasn't for my husband, No. You just play hurt. If it wasn't for my wife, I could serve God." Well, maybe the Lord was going to help you serve God anyway, if you'll let Him. "Brother Danny, if it wasn't for this..." We all could say that. We all could say that. Let's make up our mind tonight. We're going to get in the ministry. We're going to do something. Let's see them buses roll, people. Let's pray for that youth. Let's get to work. Amen. We're running out of time. Let's go for God. Let's stand. Bow our head for prayer.